Welcome to Press X to Win episode. I want to say it's five now. Hey, so Ricky, I was reading in the headlines the other day. There's something going on with like a Halo or something or another. What's going
Yeah,
on?
it's weird. Yeah, there's actually a new Halo game coming out. That's not going to be Halo 5. But
Where's that gonna be?
actually it's exclusively for Russia and
Oh,
it's free
great.
to
Good
play.
job. Way to hum. Awesome. Stupid shit.
Yeah, of
My
course.
name's Nate, and this is my friend Ricky. He plays
Hi.
video games too. Jake's out of town. And then we also have a special guest from ProvenGamer.com, Mr. Mike.
How you doing?
Good, good.
Yeah, good.
Mike, do you want to tell the listeners why you're here specifically?
Well, I could, but I kind of felt like, maybe you should say that.
Okay, well, recently, Mike, who owns ProvenGamer.com, decided that he wanted our podcast on his website. So we'll be moving from, in the coming week, we'll be moving from Podomatic to his website, and we'll have all the links on the Facebook as well as, whatnot. What is the name of the podcast that you currently do on there, the main podcast on there?
Our flagship podcast is called Trophy Horse.
Awesome.
It is a PlayStation-based show. Just to give you a back history of what our show was, is we were part of a well-known website called Sarcastic Gamer, and they had a community cast on there that the community could do their own podcast, submit it, and they would release it on their feed, and then people could hear. Our show became so much popular on there that we actually started to crash their server. So, very nicely, because the guy that owned the site, Jeremy Doc Adams, who, if you guys have ever heard the gaming charity called Extra Life, he's actually the one that got it started. He's
Okay.
the founder of it.
Awesome.
So, very good guy. He turned to me. He says, "Listen, he calls me Tricky because everybody knows me as Tricky Mick on my podcast." He said, "Listen, Tricky, we'd love to host your show, but we just can't afford to up our servers. So you're gonna have to move on and do your own thing."
All
And
right.
at that point, I really was not interested in doing start my own website and do my own thing. And the podcast was just like a social thing. Like, I didn't do it for money. I didn't do it for fame or anything. It was just, hey, let's get together and talk about video games.
Yeah.
And our show was actually about the name of the show was Trophy Horse. Our show was basically going to be, the listeners write in, say, hey, I'm having a particular problem getting this trophy, and we would discuss how to do it. And the three co-hosts at the time would turn around and, we would set up a time where we would actually go help you get the trophy if it was a multiplayer trophy or whatnot. And the show became so popular that it spurred on that we had to get our own website, which then me and two other people, we started ProvenGamer.com. And that was 4 years ago, and we just recorded our 200th episode not too long ago.
Wow, that's
Very
awesome.
nice.
So we're pretty, I mean, Jake's not on here to be excited, but we have to thank you. We did this. I mean, we only did five episodes of this. We were just doing this for fun. So it's pretty cool that, someone listened to us and actually wanted to, put us on a website and kind of give us a chance, I guess you could say. So
Well,
we're very excited.
see, that's the thing. It's like, I reached out to you and Jake, and I reached out to you guys because somebody reached out to me to do this.
That's awesome.
And I realized that if I don't give, like that movie goes, if I don't pay it forward,
Yeah.
I'm not doing anybody in the podcast industry a service, because if somebody didn't give me my chance, nobody would know who the hell I was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I go to PAX and I got people recognizing me just from the sound of my voice, and I can't tell you how that blows my mind. It's like I'm walking down talking to my girlfriend, and somebody goes, "Hey, are you Tricky Mick?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Dude, I listen to your podcast." I'm like, "You do?"
Starstruck. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
And it's like a cool story. You guys know who Greg Miller and Colin Moriarty are.
Of
They
course.
started kind of
Yeah.
funny. This last PAX East, I was there, and they did their Game Over Greggy panel, and then, because they're good guys, they They left their panel. They went next door into an empty conference room, and they did a meet and greet. And it was funny because during the show, Greg and Colin gave away T-shirts and PSN cards that we donated to them to give away.
Oh, awesome.
Just for them to mention that we're doing our 200th episode and mention the website. And, you know, everybody's doing the meet and greet. And of course, I'm wearing a Proven Gamer sweater, so everybody knows, you know, who I was. I had, like, 50 people mob me, like, hey, I listen to your podcast. I you guys are doing a great job. And that blows my mind.
That's awesome.
And if I could turn around and get you and Jake to that point, as proud as you guys would be that, you know, people would listen to you, that would make me even prouder. Just know that, hey, listen, I helped you guys get your foot in the door. And if some of our listeners turn around and listen to your podcast, then, you know, I'm doing what somebody did for me. And that's all that's the main reason why I reached out to you guys to do this.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. It's pretty awesome. So we're bringing Mike on the podcast this week to kind of meet him and know him. And so you can, you know, want to go listen to Trophy Horrors, whether you like PlayStation or not. I'm sure it's awesome. So
yeah, you get to listen to me and Donnie argue and fight, which is probably the main reason why people listen.
I think it's pretty entertaining. That was me and Jake originally intended to be, because he's an Xbox fan and I'm a PS4 fan, and we were gonna fight, but we actually started getting along well. So, Ricky, do you want to give us a little not too long, but a little bit about yourself, and then we'll
not
get
as
into
long as me.
Not as long as Mike.
Yeah. I can definitely make it short and quick. So basically, I started gaming at a young age. Original Nintendo, after that Dreamcast, whatever, and then after that Xbox. Stuck with Xbox for a while, had a huge collection, got a 360, and after that, now I got my PS4, because, I don't know, for me, the Xbox One just wasn't with it. They didn't really seem like they had their program together, so
yeah,
went with the better console, in my opinion.
Yes, and keep in mind, this is going to be a very PlayStation-oriented podcast this week, because
of course.
I'm all PlayStation. Mike's all PlayStation, and I've gotten Ricky pretty much all PlayStation too. So,
yeah, I still like a lot of Xbox stuff, such as Halo, Forza, and everything. You can't get me away from that.
Yeah, that's why I want to start the podcast making fun of Halo. In fact, that's
of course,
well, Ricky, I, you know, that will all go away as you mature as a gamer. You know, you come to the adult system instead of the kiddie system.
I see how.
Yeah, stay away from that Xbox One. So, speaking of Xbox One and video games, I guess. I want to talk about what I've been playing, but I want to hear what you guys have been playing first. So, whichever one you want us to go first, go for it.
Yeah.
Ricky, I'll let you go first.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm usually pretty busy with school and working and whatnot, so I've been playing a lot of catch-up with all my games that I have on spring break. So, recently, I just beat Unity, finally. Picked up Xenoverse also, Dragon Ball, beat that. Been playing a lot of Battlefield Hardline, which there's a lot of people talking crap about it, saying it's not as good as it's supposed to be, but I think it's pretty awesome.
It is pretty fun. I think it's a really good game. I mean, it's probably not as groundbreaking as Battlefield 4 was. Granted, that game was broken as fuck.
Yeah, at least this works. You know?
Yeah. At least this works at launch, and I mean, granted, some of the maps are really small, but I've had some fun with it. I agree with you, because me and you have been playing pretty much together the whole time, so.
Oh, yeah. We've been squatting up, you know, having a good time. And then Bloodborne would be the game that we've been sinking a lot of hours into, dying a lot.
God,
but
Bloodborne.
It's a good game. It's just there's some things that don't work, some things that do work. But overall, I'm satisfied with it. I'll definitely keep playing it if I ever beat it.
That game is just rage-inducing. So I got a question before we move on to Mike real quick. What did you think of Unity?
So my opinion on Unity is, it was all right. Their overall story was okay, nothing inspiring like, you know, Assassin's Creed 2 or the Ezio series, but it was okay. It was glitchy from the beginning. Everything else, it was just average to me. Nothing that really sticks out.
Yeah, I feel like that's like the worst Assassin's Creed in a while. I mean, I didn't hate 3.
I love Black Flag.
Black Flag was so good. Yeah, Black Flag was really good.
See, I'm going to break you guys' hearts. I don't think Black Flag was as good as Unity was.
Really? Okay.
That's the first
go
time
for it.
That.
Tell us why.
Okay.
Well, all right. Here's the thing. You play Assassin's Creed. You have an idea of what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that in Black Flag they introduced the ships.
Mm-hmm.
but I think they overdid it with the ships.
That could be said, because I honestly spent more time
grinding
on that damn ship.
Right, and you know, to upgrade your ship, you got to go out and you got to get certain parts and mm-hmm. you know, certain ships. You know, you got to get like 5,000 of a certain item, and when you blow up a ship, you get like 23.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to blow up like 200 ships just to get that one piece that you need for an upgrade.
I think I did more.
I probably spent more time in that ship in that game than I spent doing anything else. I mm-hmm. probably would agree with you. But I don't know what it was about that game. I just really enjoyed it.
The overall experience was Assassin's Creed all the way. I mean, love the story. I love the character. It's very memorable.
Did you guys play Rogue?
No, I did not.
I'm waiting for it to come to PS4 if it ever freaking does.
No, it probably won't.
You know, I bought Rogue because that, you know, Rogue is basically the spiritual successor to Black Flag.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I bought Rogue and I played it for like 20 minutes and I was like, you know what? This is just Black Flag all over again.
It really is.
So I started playing Unity and, you know, I got the platinum in Unity. I mean, I am a trophy whore, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm almost there.
But the cool thing about Unity is like, I don't like a lot of multiplayer components of games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm the type of gamer that I like to sit down and play the game by myself and, you know. Yeah, and if they got a multiplayer aspect to it, I don't have a problem playing with my friends, but coming from the fact that I am a trophy whore and there are multiplayer trophies in games that require you to play online,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I bought, you know, just, you know, hypothetical, if I was to go on and I bought Unity and I needed, you know, three people to come on and do a mission with me, well, if Unity's not doing that good of a game or, you know, you guys didn't like Unity and you didn't buy it, then I have to play with some random people and, you know, who knows if they're actually going to do what I need them to do to get the trophy.
That's true.
Yeah, that's why I don't like those damn
co-op.
I don't like those co-op.
But the good thing about Unity is you can literally do every mission in the game by yourself. You never need to do co-op at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't force you.
So that's why, you know, I got through to getting the platinum in Unity.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't do trophies sometimes just because trophies make you do dumb shit.
Like what are those Nostradamus enigmas? That was the most repetitive thing I've ever done in a video game. Just it was stupid.
I remember I was texting you at the store with my girlfriend, and you're like, "Dude, I fucking hate this."
It's just a long process. You have to run around everywhere. It just made to take up your time for no reason, just to get a freaking trophy.
But, yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about Bloodborne when we get to the new releases, because there's a lot I want to talk about with that game.
Oh yeah,
Mike, what have you been playing?
The only thing I've been playing is The Order 1886.
What do you think?
Yes, that game.
Okay. Visually, the game looks great.
Mm-hmm.
But going in, I already heard the story was short.
Oh yeah.
Which was a major red flag in my book.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care if a game's short. I care if a game has a good story. That's my main thing when it comes to games. That's why I'm a big fan of the Metal Gear series.
Oh yeah, me too.
Now, story-wise, and I don't want to spoil anything for anybody here or any of your listeners.
There's Twitch out there. They already know the story.
I know, but
don't spoil it. But that means
I was gonna say that doesn't mean I have to add to the thing. Now,
okay.
There's one major aspect of the story that I'm not going to mention because I don't want to spoil it.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really set off a red flag in my head. Like, this is totally screwed up.
I might know what you're talking about.
But halfway through the story, I kind of saw the ending coming a long way. So yeah. I was like, you know what? At this point, the enemies were a bunch of bullet sponges. And at the parts where, you know, they ramped up the difficulty, they ramped it up way too high.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was just one, you know, you guys both played it to completion?
I have. Ricky hasn't.
I twitched the whole thing.
He watched it.
Okay.
I'm waiting for my rental to come from Gamefly. Still waiting.
Oh. Okay. Now, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but I'm not going to go into details. You remember the hallway that you go down that's loaded with guns on the left and the right? Right at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Going into that next room, the difficulty was ramped up so high that I actually had to drop the game down to easy to beat that part.
Really?
Because there's enemies in the game, the shotgun guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the shotgun guys are ready. They're basically going to one-shot kill you.
See, that's why I used that electric rifle, and I was just like, poof, and blasted their heads off.
Okay, but the problem with those guys is, at the end of that hallway, when that guy comes at you, he's got a metal helmet on his head, so you can't headshot him.
Okay.
Yeah, and then he's got a metal plate on his chest, so you can't chest shot him. So you have to shoot him in the leg until he dies.
Which will take forever.
Yeah. So it's like
I think I've been throwing grenades too.
In there. If you get lucky and you know the grenade lands somewhere close to him, yeah. But in the middle of that gunfight, you got people coming from all sides. You know, you can't stand there and aim a grenade to where you think he's gonna end up. So I mean, it's just those things. Like it really did. I saw the end coming a mile away. Mm-hmm. I will give, if they come out with a sequel, I will give the sequel a chance.
Oh, they will make a sequel.
Oh, they will. There's too much. Sure. There's too much money in that engine, I think, for them not to make a sequel.
So I'll give it a chance, but first shot out the door. I'm not hating on it too much because this is Ready at Dawn's first console game.
Mm-hmm.
So this is their first, you know, jump into the fray. So I'm not gonna hate on it too much, but they could have done so much more with that game.
Yeah, that's how me and Jake felt that it was kind of a tech demo.
Yeah,
that's how what our final thing after it was all said and done. It wasn't necessarily a bad game, but it wasn't necessarily a good game. It was like an okay tech demo type game that I feel like with more development could be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
and the only other game I'm playing is because I'm addicted to it is Clash of Clans on my tablet.
Oh, that's
me
Ricky.
Too.
You and Ricky, this could turn into the Clash of Clans podcast. We don't watch out.
I got good news for anybody that's somebody goes to Proven Gamer is I'm actually launching a Clash of Clans podcast.
Awesome. I'll be listening to that for sure then.
Well, we are
talking about jamming.
We also looking for a co-host, so.
Okay.
Ricky knows more about Clash of Clans.
I play that game way too much. I just started like about a year and a half ago, but I've played it every day since. Just, hours and hours.
I'm playing it right now.
I would be, but I'm using my phone right now.
I've been playing mainly Bloodborne, Battlefield Hardline, but there was one game I played that none of you played, and I know none of you did. Mm-hmm. I went to Jake's house, and Jake has an Xbox, and I don't have an Xbox. And I played Sunset Overdrive for 4 hours.
Do tell, fanboy.
So that game's not bad.
Uh-huh.
Here's the problem with that game.
Okay.
That game, I feel like, is trying too hard to have, like, this edgy, whoa, bro, life type thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, like, you're constantly shooting people, but you can't shoot people unless and actually kill them or, like, even have a chance at living while you're shooting people unless you're grinding or bouncing or whatever. And it's just, like, it gets tiring and annoying, and eventually I just don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But
it had that Jet Set Radio feel.
It had the Jet Set Radio feel. About 4 hours, I got tired, and I just stopped playing, and I left Jake's house because I don't play this game anymore.
So you can't actually kill anybody unless you're grinding on something?
You can, but you're going to die so fast, it's not even funny.
Okay. You're more mobile when you're grinding, basically. You can dodge everything.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Yeah. It's not a bad game or anything. It's fun. I'm sure people really enjoy it.
It's Insomniac.
It's different. It's Insomniac. I felt like the guns meant me wanting. I wanted more from these guns.
Mm-hmm.
It did. Like Ratchet and Clank has better guns.
Oh, yeah.
if you asked me, you know, that day after playing that, as long as I didn't and platinuming Infamous Second Son, which as you know, Ricky, I don't platinum many games just because I don't like the bullshit. I think that Infamous Second Son is a better game from a gameplay standpoint and a combat standpoint. It's just a better game.
Mm-hmm.
This game, I felt like sometimes I was just jumping up and down and like grinding just because the game was like, you have to. And I was like, this isn't what I want to do.
Yeah.
So that's the only game I played, but besides a lot of the games we put, you know, we've been playing, you know, Helldivers, Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
I still love Helldivers, by the way. I think that game is just
very good for what you pay
so
for.
So freaking good.
Yeah. A little hard,
but,
though. A little hard.
Oh, my God. On level 8, when you have those damn tanks coming at you and they're just raping your face off.
It's not fair. We just die.
Because you don't have rockets that are actually good because, you know, you haven't played that long. And it's just like, my God. I think I talked about the Xenoverse DLC last week, so I don't have to talk about that. I play a little bit more of that. But, I mean, Dragon Ball Xenoverse is just fun to go back to anytime.
Yeah.
So, Bloodborne is the big new release this week. I guess the Handsome Collection came out, too. I don't know if you bought the Handsome Collection, Mike, at all, or no.
No.
Okay, so no one bought the Handsome Collection. See, I wasn't going to buy it because I've already beaten Borderlands 2 and all the DLC, and I heard, and I don't heard. I played pre-sequel on PC when it came out, and I thought it was a bad game. So,
yeah.
The writing was bad. The gameplay was kind of flawed.
Oxygen system and all that.
Jake could talk your ear off about why that game's bad. Yeah, Jake hates that game.
Yeah, I love Borderlands 2, so, I mean.
Borderlands 2 is great. I love Borderlands 2. Some of the DLCs hit, some of the DLCs miss.
Mm-hmm. I like Tiny Tina. She's funny.
Tiny Tina is funny. Yeah. her DLC was really good. I liked the Tiny Tina DLC where she, like, it's like a D&D campaign.
It's quirky.
That game did not make me want to pay $40 to go back and play through Borderlands 2 on whatever Vault Hunter Plus mode or whatever it's called.
It's glitchy, too. It doesn't run very well on the PS4 for some odd reason.
I heard it runs good on PS4 and runs bad on Xbox One.
No, it's both consoles. They were complaining in the reviews saying that it doesn't run at the snuff. It's basically like a degraded version of a PC, and it's not running smoothly all the time.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't run a constant 60, which it should be.
Yeah, I'm just not going to even bother with it, probably. I mean, maybe I'll pick it up later down the line if I want to play through Borderlands 2 again or something. I don't know. Yeah,
we can collect that.
But the main game that came out this week that's the big one is Bloodborne. And both me and you have never played like a Dark Souls or a Demon's Souls type game.
No.
So we bought this game, you know, because it was the big, it was the hype, you know, it was the big PlayStation exclusive. There wasn't really much to play right now. I mean, if you look at what the kind of stuff, I mean, we're playing Hardline, obviously, but I'm not, the problem I have with multiplayer games is that multiplayer fucking shooters are just nonsense all the time. Like, it's just people being assholes.
It's a community, especially with Call of Duty. I mean, you get tired of the certain people who just don't play like you're supposed to, quote unquote, just camp or whatever.
Like, I can play
Hardline
for a little bit before I'm like, okay, you know, I'm getting tired of these people. But so Bloodborne came out, and I got Bloodborne first thing Tuesday morning, and I will tell you, I spent 3 hours straight dying in the first room, the first like actual combat area after the tutorial. There isn't really a tutorial. It's more like a just, hey, the game started. Now go walk.
And go die.
Yeah,
die. Again,
but then,
and again,
yeah.
Again.
Yeah, and I never played one of these games. I didn't realize, you know, basically, it really is, you know, you spawn and you die. And you spawn and you die. And you get better. The cool thing about Bloodborne is I feel like I'm getting better every time I spawn and I die.
So, I didn't for the good first 5 hours.
You know, for the first 5 hours, you're like, oh, my God. Surprisingly, I killed the first boss on my first try.
No.
I was pretty proud of myself on that. Granted, the other bosses are a completely different story. The other bosses, I came nowhere close to doing that.
But that bell, though.
That bell saved my life so many times. Like
when it works.
It worked. It wasn't working earlier today, and I got it to work. Like, it'll work. And, you know, all you really need is one person to come in and help you with most boss fights, and they're pretty doable.
Yeah,
just from, you know, as long as you're skilled with, you know, the way the game works and knowing how to dodge attacks and attack and all that stuff. But I just feel like this type of game is so weird because, you know, it's purposely hard. Like, you know, some of the stuff in this game...
Idiotically hard.
Idiotic.
They make it hard on purpose just to frustrate you. Like, it's stupid. They'll kill you, one-shot you, just because they can.
Yeah. And, like... There's not a lot of checkpoints.
Oh, no.
Like, there's next to no checkpoints. There's probably, like, maybe 20 in the whole game. But you can do these little... You can make these little shortcuts, open doors and make the shortcuts and stuff like that, which is really cool.
When you can make it there.
Yeah, when you can make it there. The shortcuts are pretty cool, though. Like, they you know, they help out. But the problem... The main challenge of the game is, you know, battling these enemies and constantly, you know, fighting your way to these damn... shortcuts. And then once you open the shortcuts to the boss, you die, and then you go back, and you're like, well, I'll just run to the shortcut and go to the boss, you know? And then you finally get to the boss, and you sit there and die, and die to the boss, and die to the boss, eventually kill him, and you feel like... I mean, there's no feeling like it in any game I've ever played in a long time where, you know, you kill that boss, you feel like you've accomplished something.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stop playing it. Like, I went to Monterey this week for a day with my girlfriend just to, like, get away for spring break, and...
All you thought about was Bloodborne?
All I thought about was going home and playing Bloodborne and getting on that game. And, like, I was reading stuff, like, whenever we were just chilling, not doing much, I'd go on my phone and, like, read stuff about Bloodborne and, like, what I should be doing next to kill the next
boss. Does your girlfriend know this?
Oh, yeah, she knows.
Okay.
She said I should go to Bloodborne Anonymous. So. I love this game. It's super flawed. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, the multiplayer ringing a goddamn bell, like, reading this bell, and then people show up. Sometimes and sometimes they don't, and it's just like, oh my god, why can't you just have a server lobby that I join people to do my boss fight?
I mean, it's like, cool to integrate it like that. It goes for like the showmanship of the game being like you're in this game, this is happening, ring the bell, and they'll just show up like a, you know, like souls similar to that's the other game.
Yeah, but Demon's no souls. It's awesome. It's really cool. I just never played anything like this, and I honestly don't know if I'll ever beat this game, because you know, I get so frustrated sometimes when I just keep.
No, I'll definitely rage. Dying.
But yeah, I'm gonna try and beat it. I just finished the fourth boss. How far are you, Ricky?
Haven't found the third boss yet. I'm still dealing with the guy, the Gatling gun guy at the top of the tower that keeps shooting me repeatedly, and I have no health vials. Because that particular will not drop any health whatsoever, so I have to go back to the beginning, get some health, get some bullets, and yeah, it's just a repeated process until I get to the freaking Gatling gun guy.
But you do feel like you're getting better every time you do die. You kind of feel like maybe I can go back and do this better now. Like
that's... I am doing better. I'm saving up all my stuff, my currency, so I can actually upgrade little by little. So I am learning how to not die so much and get better, but it's a frustrating process. Regardless, I still got to take a break every once in a while.
Yeah, I do.
Kill myself.
I feel like this is one of those games, if you don't take a break, you might go crazy.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
I mean, yeah, it's a great game. I like the weapons. I love the graphics, the whole system and everything. The combat system is. It took me a while to learn it, but it's pretty responsive. I have to say that, like, you know, when you want to do something, it'll happen. It doesn't, like, you know, there's no, like, other things getting in the way. You die because it was your fault.
Okay.
Which sucks also.
And since I have you here and, you know, you've been playing the game, granted, we haven't beat it, so we're giving you our opinion on the podcast. Here at the Press 6 to Win podcast, we have a rating scale of buy it, rent it, or it's shit. What would you give Bloodborne?
Since I'm new here, I have to do a little bit differently. So, I mean, if you are into those kind of games as far as, you know, like the Demon's Souls and all that, I would say definitely buy it. If you get frustrated easily and you don't play these kind of games, I would say at least try it out, you know, give it a try, maybe rage a little bit, you know, rent it,
rage and see if you like it. And if you don't like raging, then don't buy it.
Yeah. Don't buy it. If you have a temper and you're going to break the house, throw the TV, throw the controller, don't do that.
Yeah. Cool. That's basically how we do it usually. Like that's what Jake did. Last week with a game he played, I don't remember what it was. I think it was Xenoverse. That was his review for Xenoverse or something like that.
Okay.
So we're good. So this week we had a delay of Batman Arkham Knight, but we got a new video for it.
Was awesome.
It was awesome. Like that Batmobile though. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna have some fun with that.
Oh my god, I want to know more. Like, the problem I have with this game is, like, I can't talk about it because I don't know enough about it, you know?
They didn't release enough information about it yet. Like, really, how big the world is going to be. I mean, they have a good list of enemies that are going to show up and what's the story about. It's going to revolve around Scarecrow and this so-called the knight. I forget, but the other guy in the armor.
Arkham.
But, yeah, Arkham Knight. Oh, yes.
See, the thing about it is, like, I'm going to buy this game no matter what.
Oh, yeah, me too. Honestly, I got a pre-ord.
I'm going to buy it no matter what. They could tell me nothing else about it for, you know, the rest of the time, and I'm going to buy it.
Rocksteady has not done me wrong yet.
Mike,
so, I mean, I can count on them to make a great game.
Mike, have you looked at Arkham Knight at all or anything? Or?
I have looked a lot at Arkham Knight.
What do you think?
Okay.
Here we go.
Well, okay, I got to watch what I say, because as I just put in the Skype chat to both of you guys, I actually have a pre-build of the game.
Oh.
So I have, like, the first 2 hours of the game already.
Oh.
Okay, cool.
Well, I'm jealous.
I'm really jealous.
I got to watch what I say right now just to make sure.
Of course, of course. Confidentiality, of course.
Yes. As Ricky, as you said, that Rocksteady hasn't done me wrong yet, and that is very true. This game is beautiful,
mm-hmm.
absolutely beautiful. It's the return to the Batman series that we lost when we had to play Origins.
Oh God, don't get me started on that one.
Okay,
I didn't think it was that bad.
Okay,
it wasn't great.
Okay, Origins was not a bad game in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that people came to expect, they had expectations of what the game should be because of the previous Rocksteady games.
Which was amazing.
Right. So when you have another company come in and do a game that is not a sequel, but it's a prequel,
mm-hmm.
I felt like them putting out Origins was just a cop-out. So when I heard about Arkham Knight and I saw how beautiful it was, and I cannot wait to play this game, and I really don't care that it got delayed for 3 weeks.
Oh, no.
No, no. I just want to play it. I just want it now. Please just give it to me.
And it's the same way that I don't care that Arkham Knight got delayed, I don't care that Uncharted 4 got delayed.
Oh, my God.
This is true. Nate is a super fan of Uncharted or anything Sony.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, but Nate, if you get it now, you're gonna have problems with Arkham Knight that we had with Assassin's Creed Unity. They rushed out the door. They rushed out the door, and all people did was bitch about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to wait for them to patch it.
Yeah, that's a massive patch.
What I will be disappointed with, and I don't know this for sure, so don't hold me to this. I will be very, very, very disappointed if it turns out the Joker is the final boss of this game.
Yeah, he's dead. I do.
Oh, spoiler! Sorry.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's an old game. Arkham and the Arkham City. It seemed like that's where they're going, and I would be pissed if it turned out that Arkham Knight is this Joker or something. I'd be like, really? You guys copped out like that?
Well, Arkham Knight is supposed to be a brand new, never seen before Batman villain. It's never been in the movies, never been in the comics, nothing.
It's the Arkham trilogy. That's the only problem why I think that you might be right about Joker.
Well, here's the thing. I know Joker is the ultimate Batman villain.
Mm-hmm.
We had to deal with Joker in Arkham Asylum. Then they led us to believe that we're going to be fighting Hugo Strange in Arkham City.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out it was the Joker.
Yeah.
Then you got that it was Black Mask in Origins, and it turned out it was a Joker. So,
Joker, yeah.
The way you phrase it just sounds funny.
And don't tell me now it's Scarecrow, but no, it's really Joker underneath the mask.
Yeah, the Joker's
They bad. Could do it. I mean, but it would be a lot of people complaining about that.
Well, here's the thing. It's like when you played Arkham City, and this is spoilers. So
yeah, go for it.
When you played City, the whole thing, the whole mystique about Batman was that Batman does not kill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when he walked out, because we know he didn't kill Joker.
No.
But when he walks out with Joker's dead body, drops it on the hood, and just walks away without saying a word, that's a hell of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, yes, it was.
I agree.
I think it's going to be Harley Quinn.
Now,
because if you listen to that video they put out, and he's flying around the city, all you hear is all the guards like, have you seen Harley Quinn? I haven't heard from Harley Quinn from in a while. Oh, I wonder what Harley's doing. And it's like, oh, maybe.
Well, see, and there was also, there was a little bit of a Easter egg in City that there was a positive pregnancy test.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a kid.
And then you played the DLC for a city, and it was, Harley's Revenge, and it turns out, no, it wasn't a positive pregnancy test.
Yeah, yeah.
So you took that cliffhanger away from us.
Yeah.
It's doing things that things shouldn't do. Like, this, I have this problem, and I know this isn't video games, with The Walking Dead. And there's plot lines in The Walking Dead that are so good, and then they just fucking disappear. And they're like, sorry, this isn't going to be the plot line we're going to go with. And it's like, why did you get rid of the only reason I'm watching this show? Because of this interesting plot line. I've stopped watching that show, by the way. But that was.
Oh, you are missing some good TV now.
Everybody's
I stopped watching after the mid-season premiere.
Of this season?
Yes. The mid-season.
You're missing so much.
Oh, really? Episode I watched, they were walking around in some woods, and that's when I turned it off. They were walking around in the woods being all sad for themselves, and I was like, this isn't good TV writing.
Okay. As a person that's read the comics and has watched the television show, they are going down a good direction right now.
Okay. All right, then.
You need to catch up.
Okay.
You'll catch up.
Because the season finale is in 2 days.
I know. I'm going to watch it after the finale. My girlfriend watches it, and she tells me, like, if I should watch it or not. And she said last week was really good, and I should watch it till last week. So I was like, just watch the finale and tell me if it's worth watching to the end of this season so I can get caught up. If not, I'm just done. Because I'm in the middle of House of Cards. Don't say anything about it, because someone already spoiled the main one of the main plot points.
Well, don't. I haven't watched the third season yet, so
I'm still on the second season, so we're good.
All right, let's get back
to video games. I'm sorry.
No.
Conversational podcast.
Open that can of worms right there.
Listen, we can go down that path all you want. I'll talk Walking Dead all you want, but Arkham Knight I think is gonna be a good game. I think I will be upset if this game ends on a cliffhanger. I'm making noise. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Don't worry.
I got heartburn. I got Tums.
No worries.
I will be upset if they leave this game on a cliffhanger because this is supposed to be Rocksteady's swan song to the Batman series. So I really hope they close it out in a good way.
Yes.
And I really hope they don't shove the Batmobile down our throats.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that, too. They're forcing us to use it in certain sections or not.
I'm hoping you're right about that, too. The one thing I'm curious is if this is their last Batman game, which they're saying it is, what will they do next? And I pray to God, just please, if there's a grand deity, that this next game is Arrow. In like a Batman Arkham Knight type of thing going on.
You have failed this city.
You have failed this city. And you're just like fighting with the bow and stuff. Oh, could you imagine how cool that would be?
Didn't we have the bow trend a couple years ago with what was it? Every single video game, Crisis 3 and
Tomb Raider.
All that stuff. Tomb Raider.
Time to bring back the best bow, and that's Green Arrow. We need a Green Arrow game.
What about a Superman game?
Oh, not Green Arrow.
I watch Arrow, so I'm behind you with that.
I just want Stephen Amell to voice Arrow in a game. I think that would be my end-all, be-all, like, happiness, you know, place.
You want a good Stephen Amell story?
What?
Being that I live in New York City, I went to New York Comic Con back in October. And I'm sitting in the Lego 3 Batman panel. And they're bringing out guests and, you know, whatnot. And it's about a half hour, 45 minutes into the conference. And Greg Miller was actually the host of the panel. And he said that anytime this one guy said something, you were supposed to scream, damn it, and whatever his name was. It was just a random joke.
Yeah.
So it was getting to the part where the producers of the game were getting ready to announce the third DLC pack. Which was going to be Arrow. Mm. But this guy went to roll the clip to announce that it was Arrow, and the guy fucked up. So, of course, the whole audience screams, damn it, and whatever the hell his name was. This one random guy just out of nowhere screamed, you have failed this panel. So they roll the clip, it's Arrow, and then they announce Stephen Amell, and he comes right on stage. And Stephen Amell goes, "Can whoever screamed, you have failed this panel, can you raise your hand?" And the guy raises his hand and goes, "You have no idea how much it took for me not to run out here and give you a hug when you screamed that." And Stephen Amell is just a generally cool dude, because I wound up actually doing an interview with him. He's generally a good dude, and I... you know, I'm behind you. I love Arrow the show, and if Rocksteady could do an Arrow game, that'd be great.
Oh my God,
I agree.
This, here from the President's Twin podcast, if Rocksteady ever listens to this, please let them listen to this. Make your next game Arrow, please, please, please.
And only if you use Felicity, because I will not play the game unless you have Felicity in it.
Of course.
I don't know
so
if you're
sexy.
I don't know if you're caught up on that show, though.
I am totally caught up.
Okay, well, we're going to talk after this real quick. because I have some bones to pick with Felicity. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so
I
getting
have a
away
bone
from...
for Felicity. Oh, wait, I shouldn't say that.
Oh, jeez. No, stop.
Showing.
So, shit.
I hate every bone in her body but mine.
I'm just gonna cloud you out. Okay.
Moving on.
I feel that's gonna be edited out of the show. His first edit ever.
Our other topic we want to talk about was there was another game that we saw some videos for, and that game was Splatoon, which is Nintendo's first original IP in something naughty.
20 years.
It's been a long 20 years. Long time. I think it's since Pikmin.
Probably. Was that the last one? Yeah, probably. I think so.
I don't know. It's been 20 years. I was just joking.
It's been a while since the GameCube.
But this new game, Splatoon, looks pretty cool, actually. Besides the fact that they announced there's not going to be any voice chat in a game that is primarily looks like to be a multiplayer focused game. I mean, it does have a campaign, but it looks like it's just kind of like training on how to use all the gadgets and fun stuff in the game.
Yeah.
Did you watch this video, Rick?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the trailer. Looks very interesting. It looks like it actually has a lot of depth to it. Different weapons. You have the roller. You have like a grenade launcher type gun. There's different abilities to help you like basically spread the paint. Point of the game, obviously, is to take over all the territories using your paint. And your paint affects also like other players. You can kill other players using your paint. And then you can use the paint to travel faster. You can swim in it and all that good stuff. It's looks very interesting.
It looks weird.
It looks weird, but quirky.
It looks really fun.
It's Nintendo at its best as far as, you know, something that you'll recognize. This is totally Nintendo. Yes, definitely. You know,
I feel like this is, like, the coolest thing they could have done because it's, like, an original game with, like, a cool, you know, new idea.
Cool premise.
Like, a cool premise. Like, who's ever done a game in which you're painting the floor so that you can swim in it as a squid and then kill other people with paint guns?
Nintendo.
No
only
one.
Them. Only them.
And then all the reports are saying that the multiplayer is, or the single player is a lot like Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I love everything about this game. I honestly, like, this is, like, the reason I bought a Wii U. Like, stuff like this that just, like, looks so cool that if I didn't get to play it, I'd be depressed. Like, have you checked this game out, Mike? I know you're doing a PlayStation podcast mainly, but, you know.
Well, I bought my mother a Wii U for Christmas, so I have a little experience with Wii U. I was just saying, I before I actually say anything, besides buying it for my mother, and I never saw a reason to buy a Wii U, so apparently this game's your reason. So,
well, I already had one. My reason was Mario Kart 8. I love Mario.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I love
Bayonetta.
If you weren't on the other side of the country, I'd come give you a hug right now. But I digress.
I like Bayonetta 2 though. That was a great buy.
Bayonetta.
See, I heard about this game, but I never really did any research. And then, you know, shortly before we got on, I went on to the website, and apparently their website doesn't really show me any gameplay videos or anything, so I couldn't really research it that much. From what you're hearing, it sounds like a fun game. It doesn't interest me. I mean, it seems a little too kiddie for me. But,
yeah,
you know.
But I mean, like, it doesn't always have to be like, you know, Unreal Tournament levels of gore in your arena shooters. I feel like
Headshot.
I love our Unreal Tournament.
No. Listen. It's you're talking to somebody that has the Hannah Montana Platinum.
I know a lot of people who have the Hannah Montana Platinum.
Okay,
it's
so
not, I don't know. What
I'm saying is, it doesn't have to be blood and gores. And I'm not a first person shooter fan.
Mm-hmm.
I do like silliness, but you know, I really wish that Nintendo would get out of this mind frame that they have to develop games that seem kiddie and step into the more mature world, because I think that's why Nintendo is falling behind so far in, you know, these future development of games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think they need to step it up. And to me, I mean, just, I mean, I'm watching the trailer right now, the announcement trailer.
It looks fun. I like the idea that, you know, it's not different. A multiplayer shooter just about killing each other, you know.
It's different.
About
that's the main
like,
thing.
Like they said, like in a preview I watched, I think it was like either Game Trailers or IGN did, or maybe it was GameSpot even. They were showing like, you know, there's a bunch of different game modes. Like one, sure, there's like a team deathmatch mode, but there's also a mode where you shoot paint the ground, and at the end of a certain time, whoever has the most ground painted is the winner of the match. Which I was like, that's so cool. I mean, it's different. It kind of reminds me of that game, Da Blob.
That's right.
If it was more like the Blob was more, you know, fleshed out and more like a real, you know, felt more like a real game. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just, you know, paint, go for paint, you know, this is more like, oh, hey, paint. But also, you know, you're shooting at each other and trying to kill each other, but also win. And I feel like, yes, it has that kiddie thing. But I mean, I can't name a Nintendo game that doesn't have a kiddie thing. I mean, Bayonetta was developed by, you know, Nintendo and Platinum. And I mean, that's not necessarily a kiddie game, but I feel like games Metroid. Like that, Metroid, I guess, but Metroid's still only rated teen. Like,
yeah,
I feel like
they haven't came out a Metro game in how many years?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Since the GameCube.
I heard Axiom Verge, which comes out next week, is the best Metroid game ever made, but that's all I've heard. I've heard that
from Beyond Podcast.
You know, maybe next week we'll see. But,
we'll see.
Like, I like their aesthetic, you know, they kind of stick to an aesthetic, but I do agree with you, you know, maybe something different would be cool. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing about you got to remember about Nintendo is look how much money they're making off just the same game every time, you know, how many Mario games have just sold just gangbusters and they've just made a million of the same Mario games, you know?
People still love them.
How many times can you play the same game over and over again, though? So that's the thing, I mean.
Gamers seem to be buying it, though.
But see, what I think is, and I talk about this on my show all the time, is that I don't think it's actual gamers, and no offense to any of your listeners or to you yourself, I don't think it's actual real gamers that are buying these games. I think what it is you got the uninformed parents going out and buying a system and the games for their kids that don't really know what the game is about. They just go, oh, Mario, I remember him from when I was a kid. That's a safe game. Here, kiddie, go play this game.
I feel like that's true to an extent, but at the same time, I mean, like, I feel like, I mean, I'm 24, and I've been gaming since I was a young kid, and when I see Mario Kart, I get those memories of Mario Kart 64 for hours, or Super Smash, you know, I get those memories, and I want to play that again. The thing about the Nintendo Wii U is it's the perfect it's like a perfect console to go with another console. Like I have a PS4 and a Wii U, and that's it. You know, I'm never gonna own just a Wii U because, granted, yes, it has amazing games, really high rated games by companies, mm-hmm. but their only games are Nintendo games. Like nothing, there's no good third party games on a Wii U. You know, there's no Battlefield Hardline on a Wii U. There's no Dragon Ball Xenoverse, no Dying Light. You know,
no Call of Duty.
No Call of Duty, yes.
There was on the original Wii, but it wasn't really good.
But it doesn't sell like it does on the console because it's just, you know, Nintendo does everything on a gimmick. Like, Wii U is mm-hmm. built on the fact that there's this controller, you know, that has a screen on it, which is, by the way, is mine's collecting a lot of dust because I don't use it. I use
controller.
And
you can't even go buy a spare screen like that.
No, you can't. I don't understand.
If that screen breaks on you, you can't even go and buy a replacement one.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb. I don't understand that thinking on that, but... Nintendo. I like my Wii U Pro controller. Like I use everything my Wii U Pro controller. I beat Bayonetta 2 with a Wii U Pro controller, and I never looked back. Like I never touched that controller with the, you know, screen on it. And I feel like Nintendo's like stuck in this groove where they just have to put a gimmick on everything.
Well, maybe you can answer me this question because, as I said, I bought the Wii U for my mother. Have you played Mario Party 10?
No, I would never play a Mario Party game.
Yeah.
Okay. I bought it for my mother because I was joking around with my mother. It was like, don't ever play Mario Kart. Don't ever play Mario Party with your loved one, like your husband, because this will end your marriage. And she didn't believe me. So I bought her Mario Kart and I bought her Mario Party. Now, I asked you if you played Mario Party 10 because my mother has two of the original Wii controllers.
Mm-hmm.
And now, between me, my girlfriend, my mother, and her husband, my stepfather, we only have three controllers between of us. You know, if you take the, you know, what do you call it? The screen controller? What is that actually called?
I don't remember.
But between that, the two Wii controllers.
That's something.
I went and I bought her the Wii Pro controller.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring all four of us can play now. Mario Party 10, you cannot use that screen controller to play the game. You can only use the original Wii controllers.
What?
Which boggled my mind because if you get the random parent, as I said, the uninformed parent from before, that goes out and buys a Wii U for their kid and buys the Mario Party 10, you cannot play that game with what came in the box. And that is a major fail in Nintendo.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow.
That is a major fail because if I can't go to the store, buy your console, and buy any random game off the shelf and be able to play that game when I get home, you have failed somewhere.
You have failed this city.
I knew you were going to say that.
So now, out of four controllers, only two are being used. Which defeats the purpose.
Only two people can play Mario Party. That's not what Mario Party's meant to be. Mario Party's meant to be like, you know, four-player, make you hate each other game.
And the screen controller, its only function is when you're playing Mario Party, okay? You roll. And there's a picture of Bowser on the screen. And he's locked behind of a cage. And there's numbers 1 through 6. And as you roll a number, the number comes off the cage, basically unlocking that section of the cage. So once you roll 6 numbers, Bowser comes out onto the screen and changes random circles on the board to Bowser spots. After that happens, there's no reason for the screen at all. And you can't even interact with the screen by Bowser's in the cage. So it's basically just another TV.
Wow. Pointless.
Exactly.
Wow.
Jesus.
And that's, you know, I look at stuff like that and I'm like, how does Nintendo stay in business?
Because they're Nintendo.
The name. They're still selling.
Honestly, it's the thing. It's the name. And the fact that people are always going to buy the next Zelda no matter how crappy it is. I thought Zelda was like too much the same every time, but you know, people love those games. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I loved Galaxy. I thought Galaxy 2 was too much the same. You know, I thought Galaxy 1 was a better game than Galaxy 2. People called me crazy. You know, Galaxy 2 got a 10, you know, while Galaxy 1 only got 9s. And people called me crazy, but it's like, I think that's true. Like, I think those games, while they're good, you know, the repetitiveness kind of rose it down. But, you know, Nintendo's customers like the repetitiveness.
And just announced today, I don't know if you guys heard this news yet. Just today, it was announced that Zelda, the next Zelda game, is being delayed.
Yep.
Until 2016.
Not surprised.
And Nintendo's not even going to have a press conference at E3 this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to do their little show thing they do, right?
They didn't have one last year either. They did their own release online. Same thing.
Yeah, I don't mind that. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Okay, but it just shows they're going backwards instead of trying to push forward. Mm-hmm. You know, I predicted on my show, and I'll put it out on your show for your listeners, I predict within 5-6 years, you're going to start seeing Nintendo games on the Xbox and the Sony.
Well, I mean, they announced the phone thing recently. Yeah. They're going to start doing
partnering with the iOS and Android.
But it's going to be special experiences made only for the phones. They said they won't be bringing, you know, like a Mario Galaxy or a direct Mario game. Yeah.
I will tell you, you're either going to see a Zelda, a Mario, or a Metroid on a Sony console by 2020.
It's possible.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean,
they just announced that they are making their next console already. They have plans for their whatever next generation step beyond the Wii U. So.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, and I think, you know, that's something we'll see over time.
Yeah.
I think with that we're going to close out.
Okay. All right.
So, as always, this has been the Press X to Win podcast. If you like us, and you want to talk with us, you know, you can always go to facebook.com/groups/PressXToWinPodcast. We're not going to be on Podomatic after this week. Where are we going to be, Mike?
You are going to be on ProvingGamer.com. Do you want me to do the housekeeping like I do on my show? It's kind of extensive, but It kind of nails all the points that you're going to need to mention every week.
Yeah. Give me like a general idea.
Okay. Give me 1 second. I got to catch my breath real quick. I'm going to do it just like I do it on my show, okay?
That's fine. Go for it.
ProvenGamer.com is looking for some staff members. If you're looking to work for the site, we are looking for some writers, podcasters, video editors, news reporters, and generalized help with the site. If you're interested in applying, go to the ProvenGamer.com on the top right of the page, click on the Help Wanted tab, and fill out the application, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. While you're there, be sure to stop by, read all of our articles, and check out all of our videos. Speaking of our videos, they can be found on YouTube by doing a search for Official Proven Gamer and checking out all of our videos there. If you listen to this podcast, we obviously greatly appreciate it, but be sure to check out our other podcast, which is Trophy Horse. It's weird saying that instead of the other one. And PG Spoilers. PG Spoilers is a community cast show. If you're interested in doing a podcast or you want to talk about a topic, all you have to do is reach out to me. Let me know that you want to do it. I'll set you up. You record the show, you edit it, you send it in to me. It gets released on the site and you have your own podcast on iTunes. If you listen to this podcast, as I said, we greatly appreciate it. But with all these podcasts, including Press X to Win, which Nate and Jake don't know at this point, but they can be found on iTunes and on Stitcher. If you're listening to us on either one of those, please stop by, leave a rating, preferably 5 stars. Let the guys know how good of a job they are doing. If you want to get a hold of us, there are several ways you can get a hold of us. You can send Nate and Jake an email.
Rick won't be here all the time, but he's going to be a little sub if we ever need him.
Yep. But you can send them an email at pressxtowin@provinggamer.com. You guys don't have a Twitter yet, correct?
No, not yet.
Okay, when you guys get a Twitter...
You might have made one. Didn't you make one?
I didn't make one.
Okay, never mind.
But if you want to contact the website, it's at Proven Gamer. We also have our Facebook group for Proven Gamer. That's facebook.com/Proven Gamer. Please hit that like button and get involved in all the conversations. If you want to give a call, there are two ways you can give a call. You can either call the number, which is 330-PROVEN-9, which is 330-776-8369. Or you can go to the front page of ProvenGamer.com or the front page of our Facebook page and click on the SpeakPipe app and click on there and leave your message. That is not just for podcasters. That is for anybody involved on the site. And the only other thing we have to do is mention the sponsors, which is our Extra Life. If you don't know about Extra Life, be sure to go by www.extra-life.org and check that out. It's a good charity. Maybe possibly I can talk to Nate and Jake about doing it in the future. And there is a Proven Gamer team. And also, ProvenGamer.com is sponsored by Amazon. If you're going to shop on Amazon, as we know you do, please stop by the website first. Click on the Amazon link.
Who doesn't shop on Amazon? That's the real thing.
Click on the link. Continue to do normal shopping. It doesn't cost you anything extra and does help out the site tremendously. With all that being said, that's all the housekeeping.
Cool.
All right.
If you want to listen to us, go to those places. We'll be there. If you want to talk to us, go to those places. We'll be there. We're out. We'll see you next week.
See ya.